Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Theo can't tell anybody what's going on with Jim Hickey, but that doesn't sound real good for Jim Hickey.
It's not an endorsement, that's for
it
sure.
It is certainly not that. Here to bring you the latest is Sahadev Sharma. He's on Twitter, at Sahadev Sharma. His terrific, thorough work is in The Athletic Chicago, and he's with us now on The Score. Hi, Sahadev.
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going?
Not bad. I was just thinking, as we were coming back from break and listening to that audio from Theo, it's entirely possible that I'm just spacing on this, and you're with him almost every day he talks. Can you remember the last thing Theo wouldn't comment on or couldn't?
I'm sure there have been things, but, I mean, it's pretty clear that there's something non-baseball related, I guess, going on here, because both he and Jed were very, I guess the proper word is cryptic about what the situation is. They just wouldn't go into any detail and wouldn't confirm or deny anything that was out there. So, I mean, it's pretty clear that Hickey's not coming back. I think that's kind of been accepted by all of us covering this team. Why is not clear at all. And I don't know if we're going to find out, you know, exactly what's going on anytime soon. We may, if that comes out, but it's definitely not something that they're sharing at the moment.
I have a theory, and I want you to assess the validity of this theory. I'm trying to connect some dots based on some things I'm hearing. The meaning of the exit interviews to me seems significant here, because what I know was said about Chili Davis, I don't know that the same things or similar things were said about Jim Hickey, but increasingly their lack of reticence to cashier coaches points to me, Sahadev, to almost be customer service, to almost be their players and their players' comfort, their players' ability to function best. They're listening to their players and maybe just trying to get them guys they want. And people can decry it all they want, are these players today or this, but it sounds to me like the player is the customer when it comes to these voices that they hear every day, and they're just doing right by them.
Yeah, you know, I think you could use that argument for Chili, almost no doubt there, that they just didn't, there wasn't, younger guys didn't resonate well with Chili. His message didn't resonate with them. I think early on there were some missteps and it rubbed some of the players the wrong way, and he just couldn't recover from that. With regards to Hickey, I don't think that's the case. I haven't heard anything, but it very well could be. But like I said, I don't think this is because of the first half struggles with the starting rotation or really anything that happened on the baseball field. I think if whatever is going on, if it didn't happen, then Hickey would probably be back. I don't think they'd be making this change. They're not making this change, from what I've gathered, because, you know, a dozen or, you know, half a dozen pitchers came in the exit interviews and said, yeah, we just didn't get along with Hickey and he rubs me the wrong way, or his philosophies are just not the way I like to go about things.
Sahadev, what's the budget for the Cubs at this point? How hampered will they be by investments they've made last offseason into this year's free agency?
I think they're significantly hampered. I don't have an exact number for you, but that $246 million luxury tax threshold, I don't think that's their budget. I think it's decently below that number, which means, you know, if you're a Cubs fan, I wouldn't be thrilled to hear that. That's, you know, it's a budget, and it's something that's created, right? But these are artificial limits, per se. Yeah. You know, I know it's a budget. I know these are real things that people in business have to deal with. But if you really wanted to, you could blow past a budget. You could change what the budget is. If the ownership wanted to, there's no doubt they could find a way to change the budget. They're just choosing not to at this particular moment. So it's not at the levels that I guess many of us expected it to be heading into this offseason. I think that's a big surprise for most of us, on the outside looking in. And I'm not 100% sure if it may have come as a surprise to some of the people in the front office too.
Yeah. Let me just set the record straight here, or let's at least try. When you say an artificial, you know, budget, or at least what the numbers could be, we're dealing with, or are we, two different numbers. $206 million is at the point where you get taxed on the money. And if you're in the tax three times in a row, it's 50% or 30% for two, 20% for one. The 246 level is where you start to give back spots on a draft pick. Are either one of those scarier to them than the other? You know, is 206 the soft number, and is 246 a harder number, or do you think none of those really matter?
You know, I don't think it matters significantly. They're obviously over the 206. They're going to have to operate above that. Yeah. If not, then some changes are coming that we are not expecting or that we're not talking about right now, because they're going to have to do a lot of changes. And then you definitely should be upset if you're not going over the 206. If you're a fan of this team, I don't think they're working with that in mind right now. As far as we cannot go above 246. I really do think it's just there's a budget that the business side has given over, and it has nothing to do with the 246 as far as what I've gathered. It's just a number that's in that area, a little bit below that, that they've been given, and that's what they have to work with.
Jed Hoyer talked about communication with players, and he talked about the fact that their versatility and their depth are a strength, if you look at them as sort of the same thing, in that they can match up with other teams. However, it does appear that some of the feedback they got from players is the players want to know not only when they're going to be doing certain things in the batting order or in the field, but why. You're not sitting today because you were for four yesterday. You're sitting today because of this matchup or that matchup. We had a caller ask this question. I couldn't answer. Maybe you can. How much of an ongoing communication issue that arose last year was maybe due to the departure of Davey Martinez, whose job it would be to get some of that stuff from the managerial level to the players' lockers?
Well, from my understanding, there wasn't a huge communication gap as far as you're not playing tomorrow or all that stuff. I think that still was handled in a similar fashion, right? There was no issue with, guy coming in, what? I'm not in the lineup type thing. There was nothing like that. It was more, I think you kind of touched on it in your question. They just want a little bit more explanation, I think. They want to understand what's going on. I don't think this is a change from year to year. I think this is just something that they're hearing because they lost, because of the way the season ended. Guys are going to be more willing to complain, I guess, and voice their concerns when things aren't going as expected. It's just natural, right? In 2016, nobody was complaining. Nobody rose those issues and said, "Hey, I should be playing every day," or "It's a little frustrating that I'm not in the lineup." When you win the World Series, when you go to the NLCS three straight years, all those things kind of wash away your complaints in a sense. When you don't reach your goals or even come close to, when 95 wins and an early exit from the playoffs is viewed as a disappointment, and the players are frustrated as they're leaving the ballpark for the final time, then you start to voice your concerns a little bit more. And I think they just got, I think they appreciated that feedback, but it also doesn't mean, well, now you get to play every day since you're complaining.
Oh no, I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering what made this such an important point that Jed Hoyer was going to. You know, he used the term "we need to be better." Yeah. It was clear that he was talking more about the clubhouse and the dugout than he was the front office.
I think it's just a communication factor in general. They really are focusing in on how things are going as far as communication. What is the temperament of everybody? Are people upset about this? They're trying to figure out what every little detail that may have gone wrong over the past couple of years. Why didn't they have that edge? Why wasn't there, why wasn't there that sense of urgency? They're trying to figure out every single issue that may have happened and trying to correct it. And Theo didn't want to get into details, but they're like changes are coming in some fashion. They're throwing ideas against the wall on how to fix all these little issues, and they have some ideas that they want to present to the players and then maybe change. He didn't want to get into any details at all. So it's hard to know exactly what was meant by that, if they're going to change the way they train, if they're going to change the way they run things in spring training, if just any sort of communication things are going to be changed. But some sort of change is coming in that sense. And I'm curious to see exactly how it plays out. Theo said it didn't sound like something that they were going to hide from us. It was just sounded like something that wait until it actually happens before we really talk about it.
Do you get the sense, Adav, that they'd like to resolve Jim Hickey's situation before they go about changing over anything on the roster?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because you want to get that figured out as soon as possible.
But
right?
One doesn't preclude the other?
No. Well, first of all, I'm not sure if it matters, but not much change is coming to the pitching staff, right? Yeah. You know who the starters are. The starters are going to be there. Maybe there's, they have to make some changes as far as relievers go, add guys, create some depth, maybe find a way to add an impact arm to the bullpen. But I think it's just there's a sense of urgency to get it done because there are a lot of teams that don't have a pitching coach right now. So you have competition for that too. And my assumption is there are probably some guys that they wanted to pursue that ended up getting jobs already too. So, Derek Johnson was someone that was in their organization for years. They were the ones that were actually able to pry him away from Vanderbilt. He grew up a Cubs fan, from what I recall. And now he went and got another job with the Cincinnati Reds. So, he's not coming to Chicago. And I would have, 2 weeks ago, if I would have heard that Jim Hickey wasn't going to be the pitching coach, that would have been one of the first names I would have thought of to replace him. So there, and obviously there are other bigger names out there. Brian Price is out there. John Farrell is out there. I don't know if they're going to go big name like that, especially an ex-manager sitting on the bench when Joe's on a contract here. I don't know if they want to do that, if they want to go that route. But,
well, Brian Price would be much of a threat there anyway.
So you're right in the sense that they just want to get it done. You know what I mean? They don't want this hanging over their heads much longer. Obviously, it's a situation that they're keeping closely guarded to the vest here. But that it's whenever it's official that he's not the pitching coach, I would assume they want to act quickly to get another person in there.
Sahadev Sharma, thank you.
Thanks for the time, guys.
Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic covering the Cubs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.